It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the purple pants podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the purple pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back though. It's the purple pants. It's the purple pants. Hello and welcome to episode 97, Balance. I am your humble and gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning into this week's Purple Pants Podcast. What it do? I want to welcome all of our first time listeners. What's up? And to my Purple Pants posse, what's the tea? Listen, if you have not already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. I am available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you play your podcast from. You can find your baby boy. Make sure you subscribe, write a review, okay? Give your baby boy some 5 stars. What's been going on, everybody? I hope everyone has been doing well since the last time that we have chit-chatted. I hope that everyone has balance in their life. I find that it is really important with the world opening back up, okay? We're getting back to regular life, that it's important that you find your balance. And it's like making sure you are not staying in your comfort zone, okay? Because that's me. But making sure you are living life, you are reaching out to people that you have not seen in a while, spending time with people safely. But you know, you got to find that balance. I find for myself, I share with y'all a lot that, you know, I've become a, you know, I was busy as a quarantine beat in the house, and I find I don't want to leave my house, but I am slowly finding my balance and getting my wings back and, you know, really feeling like I know who I am again. Because that's, you know, about this pandemic, I feel like I done lost myself at times. I'm working out, I'm getting my, you know, I'm snatching my body back, okay? Couple of weeks, I'm going to the beach and I'm going to be in that two-piece. But your baby boy had a busy week last week. Shout out to Wendell Holland. I hoped everyone tuned into It's a Hot Mess, It's a Hot Mess House. Oh, hot mess. Oh, hot mess. Okay, on HGTV Thursday night, we threw Wendell a surprise viewing party, which had your baby boy running around like crazy. I didn't order, you know, shirts. Me and my friend Chelsea, we got the decorations. We ordered the cake. I ordered these little picture frames, you know, and we really planned everything out. Wendell is still currently shooting, so he was shooting that day and was coming back to the Philadelphia area to watch with his family. And so we thought we had everything together, and then 7 o'clock came, and baby, people started coming to his house, and we running around, but all in all, Wendell had a great showing of his family and friends, and we, you know, watched Hot Mess House. It was really great to see. I hope you guys all watched it. I hope you guys tune in this Thursday to watch the next episode, and you know, keep watching. You might see a baby boy pop up on the screen. I don't know. But it was really good, and I love to pour into people that pour into me. And Wendell has been such a great friend, such a great brother, such a great supporter. And the only thing that I know how to do is to shower him in love and shower him with, you know, surprising things. And it was really great. The next morning, Wendell had sent me a text message and was like, you know, I so appreciate all of the hard work and the little details that you did to make the premiere very special. And, you know, that's what your baby boy do. Okay. Now, on to some other pressing business that I gotta get, you know, give y'all an update. Let me give you an update on these fungi genettes, okay? Because I'm about ready to move, because I'm tired of them. However, I thought I had them under control. You know, my mom said, put alcohol in it. I poured rubbing alcohol, and it seemed to stop for a minute. Then they came back, okay? And then one of my Purple Pants listeners, who is my mom by love, the mamas, aka Miss Amy, she texted me and was like, baby boy, you gotta get the mosquito bites and you gotta get some river rocks. And I'm like, chow. Now, when Miss Amy has sent it to me, I'm like, girl, this ain't a pay week, okay? I gotta pay my bills. So I ordered the mosquito bites, I ordered the river rocks, And I, like, had reached out to Miss Amy. I said, Miss Amy, what's your number? Okay, because I need for you, I'm reading the directions, but I need somebody to walk me through what to do. So I called Miss Amy. Miss Amy was like, you know, put, you know, sprinkle a little bit of the mosquito bites in. And she like, don't touch it with your hands. I'm like, don't touch it with your hands. How am I supposed to get the mosquito bites in the soil? She's like, get a glove or get a spoon. You know, I got a spoon. Put it in there, covered it with River Rocks. And I did that with my heart of palm plant. And so I haven't really seen anything. But now the issue is, it's like the plants beside it are kind of sort of, I see the little flies. Now, I don't see the crazy infestation that I saw months ago. So I'm assuming that's possibly, maybe a win. Like, I don't mind a little, you know, if you want to be a little fly here, you know, I don't mind that. But when I tell y'all, it was like a farm, an army of these things. So, I mean, the score at this point is probably G-Nats, fungi, 1.5, Bryce, 2. So I will report back to you and see how this is going. Now, I bought enough River Rocks to cover like maybe 4 or 5 plants. I have about 40 plants in my house. So I'm going to slowly but surely get these things in order and just like, you know, do the little mosquito bites and the River Rocks to all of my plants. So I just want to get y'all an update because y'all, I feel like y'all go through it with me. Every week, somebody is sending me a photo. Every week, somebody is telling me, so I forget who it was, so forgive me, but somebody was like, baby boy, we didn't got a plant from our next door neighbor and our whole house was swear. I'm like, I don't want to hear these stories. I want to hear some victory stories. But anyway, I'm trying to find some balance with the fungi G-Nats and, you know, just, you know, regular life in my house. But let's get into this week's episode. Let me just tell y'all, it's a jammy jam jam jammy jam jam-packed episode. So let me give you the rundown for this week's podcast. Okay, let me, you know, break the balance on you. So, you know, we got the church announcements. I got a really special church announcements, and then we are welcoming Robert to the podcast. Okay, listen, Love After Lockup, can't figure out which season they on. They still calling it season 3 when it's really like season 8, but they are back with new episodes, and I invited Robert back to the podcast so we could discuss some of these new Love After Lockup connections. And you know, it's a casual tea week, so the baby boy Amon is back, and we are talking Juneteenth becoming a federal holiday. We are talking about this very disturbing viral video of this young male named Tyler in Atlanta. We are talking about queer coding in the new Disney Pixar movie Luca, and we are talking to Chrissy Teigen and Michael Castellamess and so much more. You don't want to miss it. I got the freak of the week. Okay, so listen, get your balance and let's get into these church announcements.
Hello, Bryce, and hello, Purple Pants Posse. This is Matt Scott, co-host of the Wrestling Rehab-Up with the one and only Mari Forth, and host of the special edition Black Voices of RHAP podcast focused on the state of Black representation in reality TV, the shows we love, and its podcast coverage. And to the point of manifesting, which you were talking about last week with Wendell about Hot Mess House, is that a year ago, believe it or not, when I applied to RHAP and the class of 2020, I made a video saying that I wanted to join to have conversations about these issues that matter, about these issues that we weren't talking about. And I'm so proud that now 17 of us as Black podcasters could weigh in on the conversation of what black representation and being a black podcaster means to us, and that we could weigh in on not only the past and present, but the future, manifest the future of what we want and need those things to look like for us as reality TV fans, for us as people, and for the community overall. It's amazing, too, to think about this idea of representation, because it was 10 minutes before the deadline that I applied to be part of the class of 2020, and not because I wasn't ready, but because I just didn't see myself fully represented the way that I do now, a year later, with all of these voices. And I hope that people could see us showing up, see each and every one of us in our individuality and beauty, and be inspired to manifest their own thing, be inspired to see that they could do something, do whatever it is that they want to do. Because as black people, we bring so much to the table, and that's what this podcast is really about. It's a celebration, but it's also a call for us to do better and to improve. And I'm so thankful and excited for anyone hearing my voice right now to listen. And if I want to manifest anything, it's more space for these conversations, not only at RHAP, but I recently created a film called 20s and Change San Francisco, which is recognized right now at the San Francisco Black Film Festival. And I want more of those platforms. I want more of that space. I don't know if that looks like a podcast or a show or what, but I know if there's a place to go to manifest what you want, clearly, as Wendell's example showed, it is the Purple Pants Podcast. So thank you for listening. Let's manifest this better future together and keep impacting. It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, me and potatoes like we cooking up a great stew. Keeping the menu rolling, I'm excited. WeTV just dropped a new season of Love After Lockup. And you know, that is my peanut butter to my jelly. It is my it's my cheese to my cheesesteak. So I am excited to talk Love After Lockup. So I figured, you know what? Who could I call that is in Raleigh, North Carolina, to come on and talk Love After Lockup? None other than the man, the myth, the Nino to my brown. Okay, it's Rob Sesternino. Welcome to back.
Yes. Bryce, thank you so much. I'm so happy to get to talk about Love After Lockup. After it was a year ago we were talking about Love After Lockup, and I love it so much. And I love this format of show. I get to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, and this is, I feel like it's very 90 Day Fiancé adjacent.
It is 90 Day Fiancé's cousin on its daddy's side.
Yeah.
You know, very much so the, you know, the like the hood cousin, okay? The cousin that, like, you know, come around, you gotta, like, put your money in your pocket because you, like, I don't know if this cousin gonna take, like, you know. So it's very much the same type of format, but in a more inmate style of presentation.
Well, I love it, and I'm so happy when you get me to watch it. And I set a season pass.
Yeah. Wait, you said a who?
Season pass.
What that mean?
That's when you tell the DVR to get all the episodes.
Oh, I thought that was
like swipe right for your TV.
I thought that was like a season's greeting, like, you know, season's pass.
Season's pass, Bryce.
I was like, okay. I mean, yeah.
I'm the ghost of season's pass. I'm going to show you the ghost of season's future also.
Well, I mean, you might have a hard time on WeTV because, I mean, literally, this is like the sixth season of Love After Lockup, but it's still categorized as season three.
I was very confused. I was very confused when I was trying to find it. I was like, where is season four, episode one? I see season three, episode 35.
Yeah, it's there's two shows to this. There's like the spinoff. There's Love After Lockup, and then there's Life After Lockup. But they categorize them the same. It's all under season three. Mm-hmm. I don't get it. I've been screaming at WeTV for about 2 years now, and they don't hear me. So, I mean, It is what it is. Back to season 3, episode 35.
Episode 562 of season 1.
So, yeah, but I was excited. I'm always excited for new blood on Love After Lockup. You know, I have, I feel like a healthy obsession with yes. people that are incarcerated. So it's very near and dear to my heart. I do feel like this season reminds me of literally season 3 of Love After Lockup, in which I felt like it started off extremely slow. But when the train picked up, it really picked up. Because this first episode, I was not like, okay, we get to meet the people. But there weren't a lot of standout stars for me. I don't know, like, which was your thought? Did you feel like it was like a juicy first episode? Or do you feel more like it was a... We still trying to figure out what season this is.
I think there's highs and lows. I think that there were a couple of couples that really were very exciting to talk about, and a couple of couples where nothing exciting happened yet.
Right. But I feel like the couple of couples that nothing exciting happened yet, I really feel like that they will. It's going to get down to dirty. Mm-hmm. So let's not even wait much longer. So one of the couples that really I felt... quite interesting was Dante and Nicole.
Yeah.
Dante is from Virginia. He's an African-American man. He's 33 years old. And for Love After Lockup standards, you know, Dante is not that bad looking. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not asking him to be on a Zaddy calendar or anything, but I don't think in real life that Dante would have a hard time meeting someone.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, you know, like, I don't think that, you know...
He seems like he has a lot of disposable income.
So, people crack me up with that. And that's one of my plights with these shows... Or Love After Lockup. Like, you know, he's spending thousands of dollars. And he's like, you know, I'm doing pretty good for myself. I live alone. I've got a car. well, geez.
Yeah.
The standard is extremely high.
Yeah.
And
better than me.
And when he say car... it's literally giving a 1996 Toyota Corolla. Like, mm-hmm. I don't understand. So, mm-hmm. Dante, when we first meet him, he says that, you know, he's met Nicole. And mind you, now, I did take a little note, because he said he met Nicole on this website called Paper Dogs. Okay, I never knew, didn't know about that. You know, I know Write a Prisoner. Up. .com, but I've never heard of Paper Dog. So I was like, okay.
Did you call Paper Dog?
I mean, or I think that's what he said, Paper Dogs.
I thought it was Paper Dolls.
No. It's not.
Paper Dogs?
That's what... Hold on, wait. Let me go to Google right now, too, because I swore he said Paper Dogs. Paper Dolls sounds like some kinky fetish-ish. I don't know. Let's see. Paper...
Well, for Deonte.
Wow. Paper Dogs jail. Let me just type that in to see if anything comes up. It is Paper Dolls. Oh my god.
Yeah, because I think it's like pen pals, like you write them letters and they were like you know, attractive women.
So it's no zaddies on Paper Dolls. Oh, where's the paper?
It's insulting to call them Paper Dolls.
Right. Where are the paper G.I. Joes at?
Paper Zaddies.
Yeah, I don't get it. So I feel like the fact that he's even on a site called Paper Dolls explains a lot more of this Nicole lady. We first meet him. He's at a wine store. She yeah. had requested 3 different types of wines. Red.
I thought this was your wine order.
I don't know about no pink wine. And listen, when I get the wine, it's in a box, so it don't matter. Mm-hmm. It could be any color that I'm currently purchasing. But I do get the sense that Dante is all in for Nicole.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. And I feel like, you know, he is ready for love. He very clearly says that, like, you know, Nicole is got a great personality. She loves life. And the best thing about her is that, like, she's not materialistic.
They showed this clip like four different times, and every time after he says she's not materialistic, they cut right to, hey, where's my money? Did you bring my money?
And I don't get it for Dante. And so we Dante a little weird, so he gives us a MTV like Cribs tour of his home.
Yeah,
and it's right before his friend Derek comes over, and so he's like, he pulls out a shoebox under his bed, wrapped in some cloth, and he's like,
I'm a real faithful guy, so when I started talking to Nicole, I got this toy. But it's not a sex toy. He calls it a torso toy.
Sex torso.
So it's like,
why is that weird, Bryce? Just a sex torso.
Okay. The fact that it's under the bed, the fact that it's wrapped up in some like cloth that I can only imagine what it smells like. And then he had the nerve to name it Nicole Jr.
Nicole Jr. That's what mine is called too. The funniest thing I thought about the sex torso that he has, where, you know, it is a, for people who are, I think people listen to the podcast and maybe didn't watch the episode, that it is basically a like rubbery device that he has sex with, that it has an opening that is like a woman's opening, but then also has like very tiny like breasts on it, like it like a woman's torso. Like the opening is where it's supposed to be, but then it's like, you know, like a thermos that has very tiny breasts on it.
Well,
on a sex torso, yes. And no arms or head or anything like that.
Yeah, it's giving me very, like, I don't know. But Dante made sure to tell us, yeah, the holes used to be a lot smaller when I first got it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
He put some miles on that toy torso. Okay, but if that's not more creepier, he then, I don't know if maybe, like, his friend Dante was at the door, so he had to hurry and rush, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to get rid of this because Nicole's coming home. And he proceeds to put the torso toy, or the torso, he just throws it in the dishwasher with dishes and forks and plates.
Yeah. Now, this was, I think, that a faux pas, because I think what you want to do, I think that goes on the top rack. I don't think that it goes on the bottom with the plates.
I don't know. I
think you want to, like, stand it up a certain way, because you want to make sure the water hits it in all the right spots.
Oh, you want to make sure the toy torso drains properly.
And I think so. Also, you want to make sure that you don't want to do like a too heated dry. I think you can melt that thing. No.
I think the material. I think one of the selling ads is that it is machine washable.
Machine washable. I'd throw in the washing machine, I think, before the dishwasher with my dishes.
Right. Like you literally see it hit a fork, and he just like shuts it up. Like, yeah, I'm going to get rid of that. It's good. I'm done with it. Oh, okay. Okay, Dante. So his friend Derek comes over, and the toy torso is in the dishwasher, and he is showing Derek all of the things that he got Nicole for when she comes home.
Yeah.
You know, an iPhone, an iPad, got $1,000 on the bed, Michael Kors watch, and... Yeah. The friend Derek is like, are you purchasing a woman, or is this a relationship? Like, y'all only been talking for a year, and you, like, yeah. The friend basically was like, it's team too much. I hope it don't work. I hope it is not how it's going to. I hope it does not end up how I'm thinking it's going to end up. But it is.
Yeah. Bryce, Derek is like, my friend is such a loser, and he didn't even see the sex torso. Could you imagine if Derek had opened up it like, oh, can I get a glass? Let me, like, Dante, what is this?
It's Nicole Jr.
Can I just say one thing? Why did Dante show this on television?
I don't know.
He didn't have to.
Yes.
He didn't have to show the producers.
And he went into, like, he was very proud. Like, again, it had a special box under his bed. I felt like if he was laying down, it was like the perfect location where he could just reach down and get it. You know, I mean, listen.
Mama's going to watch this.
Yes. And listen, you mean Jolanda? because, so, it's already given that Dante is being set up. Like, it just is feeling that way. But, you know, love is love. You know, who am I to say who and what you can choose from? But, so Dante is getting ready to share with his mom that, you know, he's got a new girlfriend. So he goes to the house, opens the door. The mom happens to look like Jolanda. And
I can see it.
The mom is, you know, she don't play. And normally I feel like a lot of the moms on this show are, they be like hype. They just like exaggerate or like they're just like hating on the situation and not giving it a chance. However, I feel like Dante's mom has great reason to be concerned. So we learn through the conversation that Dante's mom is like, how much money have you spent on her? And he's like 20 to 30,000.
Yeah, this year.
20 to 30,000, and you still living in an apartment, driving a 1996 Toyota Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, so then the mom spills the tea, and he's like, you know, he's like, okay. So this is when I realized, yeah, Dante might be a torso missing of a torso toy.
Because let me follow that. It's a torso. Okay.
Like, you know, it's just not all there. He's just not tiny breast on the torso doll. Like, something's missing, because the mom shares with us that the reason why she is so concerned about Dante in this new relationship is that less than or a year ago, he was in the same predicament with another young lady named Chelsea.
Yep.
And, you know, he met her from the same website. You know, he said that everything was great when she was locked up. And then when she got home, everything changed. And so, you know, he tries to explain to his 16-year-old brother that's there. And this Purple Pants Posse is the how he tried to convince his brother.
Yes.
Just because they're both in jail, I met them both from a website, and they're both blonde women, it doesn't make them the same.
Yeah.
And the little brother was eating, looked like baked ziti, and was like, it's the same.
It's exactly the same. Yeah.
It's given the same. So, yeah, I just, I don't understand it with, like, and again, like, and then we learn that Dante is a Marine, you know, and then we learned that in the last relationship with Chelsea, that she literally drained his account so much that she took the car, he stopped paying his rent, and just gave the check to Chelsea that he had to move back in with his mom. And see, for me, that's like, okay, you know,
that's too much, you think?
That's the torso that's missing from the torso tour. Like, you know, like something just like something like, you know, there might be like a delay somewhere.
Yeah.
And I like, because that don't make sense. Hey, Dante.
Well, you know, Bryce, you can make fun of Nicole Jr. all you want. Nicole Jr. never asks for $1, that she was loyal, that she never broke his heart. Just throwing her into the dishwasher.
And he's giving her up for Nicole. Like, you know, he doing Nicole Jr. dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very dirty. Very extremely dirty. Put two dishwasher tabs in there.
Now, do you put a dishwasher tab in the torso, or do you just put it in the
regular? I don't think it could hurt. I don't think it could hurt, because I think that once the water hits it, it dissolves.
So I definitely think that Dante is going to be in a whirlwind of trouble. So
Bryce,
there was another.
Then the mom also brought up, like, didn't this woman tell you, didn't Nicole tell you that she was on the website just to meet a guy and steal his money? He's like, yeah, but she said she would. That's why she was on the website, but then she didn't expect to fall in love with me.
I believe the great Maya Angelou said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And Dante, baby boy.
Yeah.
First of all, what does that say about Nicole that you meet this guy that is literally paying to talk to you, because I'm sure he had to, like, and you're like, yeah, I'm just on here to meet somebody and try to take their money. And he pursues it, like, mm-hmm. Dante.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she said, Bryce, that you have no romance, Bryce, that you don't understand. She said to him that I was going to do that, but you changed me. Come on.
I mean, listen, I'm all for it. I would love to attend their wedding. I would, like, you know, love to meet Nicole Jr. 3 maybe one day. Like, I don't know. Because I feel like there's going to be more Nicole Jr.'s in his life, because I don't think the real Nicole is going to cut it. But, you know, to each his own. And so we also met Brittany and Ray. We didn't really meet much about Brittany and Ray. We know that Brittany is from an upper middle class family.
Yep.
And, you know, they would describe her as fabulous, outgoing, and fun. And, you know, she started talking to Ray, who is incarcerated for, I think it's drugs or an attempt to to distribute. He randomly messaged her on Facebook.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, he really, like, hit me up with a genuine message. And I just, you know, really felt a connection. WeTV showed the message. It said, hey, how you doing? Okay.
Yeah.
She then said, I'm good. How about you? Ray said, just a little lockdown.
Just a little lockdown. And it was 2020. So she's like, oh, yeah, this is me too.
Then they FaceTimed. Or a Facebook call, and she was like, then I realized he really was in jail from the background. Girl. So, you know, we don't know much about her.
No.
We only saw a snippet of her, but we did see that in her past relationship, she was in an abusive relationship 5 years ago, and it seemed like a lot of her family went through it with her, so her mom is really concerned, and so she's been talking to Ray for 8 months, and she has to break the news to her mom that, you know, he's coming home, and she doesn't think that she's going to be for it. I agree. Now, there's not really much to get into, but for me, the issue with Brittany and Ray is that I get, and mind you, there's a prototype to this. Anybody that watches Love After Lockup, she reminds me of a Chevelle and Quay. In the instance that, you know, she's saying, oh, I come from this middle class family. I'm known as fun and fabulous. And so if you're known as fun and fabulous, why are you on TV with this cheap wig that I could see the part? And, like, I just, like, that burns me up. So for me right there, I just know that she's lying. Because you don't even have a lace front wig on. And if you're, like, really outgoing and fabulous, girl, why you ain't get the lace front wig with the baby edges that you can lay the baby hair down? Like, why is it just, like, sitting on top of your head like a hat? So for me, you know, I just was like, Brittany, I don't got much for you, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's really it. I mean,
it was just one scene with them that we just got to see her with her friends. That was it.
But see, for me, it gives me Issa Look vibes, because I'm like, now why does the first episode, and y'all only showing one clip of them, I feel like they might be able to carry the whole season. So I'm curious to see what happens with them. But then we've got... Now, this is the only other excitement. Well, no, mind you, there are like maybe two more exciting ones because I think they are a mess. But Rachel and Doug really kind of sort of intrigued me.
Yeah. Rachel is in the running, I think, for Freakiest Freak.
I definitely would think that out of this, besides Nicole Jr., it definitely would be Rachel. But I do, there is... I don't think that their relationship is going to work. I don't think any of these relationships are going to work. However, if there was one to work, it probably would be this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, Rachel is 35. She's dating this guy named Doug. And probably out of all of the guys that we've seen so far, if I saw Doug on paperdolls.com, I would maybe send Doug a message.
Really?
Doug is 6'5".
Yep.
He got little tattoos, okay? Mm-hmm. He likes to bark orders.
Yep.
And, you know, Rachel likes that. He is, what is it? Did they say? I don't know. No, so he was first in jail when he was like 17 for burglary. All of the particulars.
Felony firearms.
Yeah. Felony firearms, yes. Okay. Doug was about to shoot him up. So they were together for a year and a half, but 10 months. Now, this is maybe you can help me with the math, Robert, because I was like, I wrote this down, but then I'm like, this don't make sense. So they have been talking for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Now, for 10 months out the year and a half, they've been married. Is that right? Is that what she said?
I don't have that in my notes, but that sounds right.
Okay. So, but 10 months is like almost like half the time that you talk to the person. Okay, so listen, I'm just, when I read and see and hear things like that, I really just can't figure out, like, how is it that some person is in jail, okay? You find somebody to write you through writing and phone conversation, and the person that's not in jail sending the money. How y'all get married? Okay, and I'm over here 35 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm still out here. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm still waiting, okay, to get a text back. Listen, I need to call Rachel and see if I can get on her plan because I'm trying to, listen, I'm trying to get married. I don't get it, Robert.
Yeah, well, Rachel knows exactly what she wants. Do you know exactly that what you're looking for? You have I know what you have. What you're looking for, but what are you looking for?
I mean, I don't know, Rob. I think I'm going to make an account on
paperdoll.com,
and maybe, you know, somebody would think that I'm incarcerated, and I have them write me.
Oh, so you're gonna pretend that you are incarcerated.
Well, I won't pretend that I'm incarcerated. I'll just use, you know, the...
You'll just
the
be like, oh, I'm locked down.
I'm locked down. And I'll be very honest, and I'll say, listen, I'm looking for somebody that's going to spend money on me.
Yes. Gotta go to commissary.
And I'm open to... But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't get it that how Rachel... Listen, and then it's not like this is Rachel's first time around the penitentiary, okay? It's not her second time around the jail. It's not her third time around the station. Mm-hmm. Doug is her third serious boyfriend.
Yeah.
Listen, to each his own. You know, she says she likes a bad guy.
She likes
a
bad boy.
You know, Nicole 4'5", I mean, 4'5", or 5'4", I forget.
I think she was 4'10".
Okay, 4'10", okay. I was in the middle.
Yeah.
And Doug 6'6", she had her friends over, they measured the bed because they wanted to see if the bed was long enough for them to 69, if her torso was going to be the right size.
Yeah, the head to crotch ratio. Now, does the size of the bed affect that?
I mean, I don't know. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think that, you know, the bed size is going to make a difference.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to report. I had to report back to your robber.
Yeah. Bryce, did you talk about the four B's?
No, you could go ahead. Go ahead and drop the four B's. This is what. Okay. Another thing Doug said when he come home, he want just four things and they keep him happy.
The four B's.
The four B's. Go ahead, Robert.
So he wants. Well, first she takes out of the refrigerator this log. Like, what the hell is that? And she says, well, Doug loves bologna. So this is an 11-pound bologna. She's like, do you think it's enough? And the guy's like, yeah, it looks like it's a lifetime supply. Right. How much does anybody like bologna? Who likes bologna that much? What do you do with all that? Do they have a deli slicer?
I don't know. Maybe she wanted to get the brand that they had at the prison to kind of sort of make it feel like, because like that was like definitely the economy size. Like that was like the Costco's version of the bologna.
So I don't know what you do with all that bologna. One of the four B's is bologna. According to Rachel, the four B's are boobies.
But that also just can let you know he went to jail when he was 17. Because yeah. What girl, like, who's out here still
boobies?
Saying?
Yeah. Yeah. Booze. Okay, that one, we'll give him that one. That one makes sense. Bologna.
It was non-alcoholic booze, though.
Oh, yeah, non-alcoholic booze. Yeah. Which, I don't know, I would just have a Coke, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Is there non-alcoholic liquor?
There is. I know they have like non-alcoholic beer, and I know they have like a sparkling cider. But for my, like, I'm with you on that. For all of that, drink a Dr. Pepper. I don't get it. But, you know, for people, some people, they like the taste, and I get it, but.
Yeah. All right. So, boobies, booze, bologna, and then the fourth B. Is actually I would say that it's more of a compound word of a BJ than a B.
Doug want me, Bryce Johnston? Wait. So okay, that's cute and all, you know, the four B's, that's what he wants when he gets home. But let's also talk about the Doug in the room.
Doug
okay?
Jr.
Doug
not
Jr.
Nicole Jr.
Not Nicole Jr., okay? An actual living being person. So, Rachel has Doug's son with her.
Yep.
Now, immediately, my social worker antennas start to, like, they start to hum and they start to bug. Automatically, I get more intrigued into Doug and Rachel. One thing I love about the show is that, like, it's very raunchy, it's very a mess, but what I do feel like at times, WeTV does do a good job of, and some people say exploiting, other people say, I don't know what other people say, but they really do a good job of showing the people's situation. And a lot of the times the situations really remind me of when I was a child and welfare social worker. It really reminds a lot of the times I can see a lot of my former clients or like children in some of these people. So my antennas go off. So when she immediately says that, first thing that pops in my mind is like, where's the mom? Because most women that I know, if they husband or the baby dad is locked up, they not giving their child to a girl that he has met off of paperdoll.com.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like, okay, where the mom, something must be wrong. It's giving very much like, you know, either the mom's incarcerated, it's giving me like mental health, giving drug and alcohol. So like that, like for me, so it's little Doug for me, why I am so intrigued about Rachel and Doug. But also the problem that I already don't like about big Doug is that how you say the four things you want, four B's you want from home is bologna, boobies, non-alcoholic booze, and fellatio. Bitch, how about you add Doug, your son, to the list of things that you want when you come home?
Yeah.
So, for me, red flag number maybe five with Rachel and Doug is that the lack of concern for his child is a big flag for me. And, you know, again, Doug is, I don't know, in late 20s, and, you know, he's been locked up since he's been 17, so clearly he's never parented his child. And so when Rachel was, like, saying something like, oh, Doug doesn't like to come out of his room, and Big Doug's like, oh, that's because you're enabling him to feel his emotions, so you gotta stop doing... I'm like, no, Doug. Going to be problematic. And then... what for me the best part of this like whole episode was at first when they like show the clip of little Doug, like Rachel opened the door, was like, are you okay? He was like, shut the door. I was like, oh, we need to call Dr. Phil. However, later in the episode we really saw Rachel had revealed
she's about the size of Nicole Jr.
I mean, she is. She really is. Rachel revealed to us that she is very bonded to Doug Jr. And is concerned for his well-being. His mom had some mental health and drug and alcohol issues. Yeah. And so she really wants to be a stable parent for him. And she is concerned about the environment that she has built, the environment and the routine that she has built for little Doug. And she is concerned about how Big Doug will, you know, how he'll play into that role. Now, another red flag for me was, you know, if you ever got locked up, Rob, and, you know, I'm interviewing little Anthony, and I'm like, you know, Anthony, you haven't seen Big Rob in a long time. What's the first thing you want to do when you see your dad? I'm pretty sure Anthony would be like, you know, eat pasta.
Punch him in the stomach for being a douche.
like that's concerning.
But then he pivoted.
I mean, yeah, he pivoted. Then he was like, then give him a hug.
Yeah. Happy Father's Day.
Right.
Doug.
That should be a card.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen in a long time.
Here's a punch in the stomach for being a douche.
Then when you open the card, it's like your hands out, and it's like, and also a hug. Happy Father's Day.
Dear Dad, I know you wanted the four B's for Father's Day, but instead, here's a punch in the stomach for being a douche. Signed, Doug Jr.
Like, so for me, the writing is already on the wall for Rachel and Doug. I just see the storyline out already. He's going to come home. He's going to disrupt the house. I feel like she's going to take Doug Jr.'s side. And at the end of the day, Doug won't be out the window. But I don't know.
I would say that I feel like that she is so in love with Doug. Like, I actually feel like that she is going to take Doug's side. I think that Doug Jr., I think, is in the bad spot, because this woman is so in love with Doug that when he snapped at her about how, like, what is he being, a little victim? You tell him. And she's just like, oh, that's just Doug. That's just, he's just flexing. That's just what he does. It's just, love that guy. I thought that she was, like, did not seem at all, like, taken aback by him snapping.
So, I mean, it's true, but I feel like after we saw towards the end of the episode when she had this heart-to-heart with Lil Dougie, I feel like she is going to, her, like, she's revealed to us that, like, eventually she wants to adopt him. She wants to have other kids with Doug, but she wants to adopt little Doug. I feel like eventually she's going to go into protective mode and be like, this is not going to be healthy for little Doug and me. Which is then weird because then you got this kid. Like, just a bad situation. Just, I don't know. But I'm going to tune in to see it because I want to see it. And I want to see when Doug get home. And it looked like from the previews, WeTV getting kind of sort of a little X-rated. They were showing a lot of things. So I got my eye on Dante, but I definitely have my eye on Rachel and Doug.
This is a great show.
Yes. I mean, yo, we still got two more people.
Thumbs up. I love it.
No, it is. I do tune in for the ratchet, the raunchiness, and I also tune in for, like, the, you can't be serious, but there is a part of me that also tunes in to see, like, the family dynamics, to see, like, you know, what these parents are, because a lot of I like to tell whether or not if I feel like it's real or fake. There's some people I feel like they go on these shows just to try to sort of be, like, famous, and it's like, you going on Love After Lockup to be famous. But I mean, listen, shout out to my girl Lacey and Shane. Listen, they on season 3 of Life After Lockup. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. But there are little pieces and chunks of the show that I feel like, you know, my heartstring can pull to. Another interesting couple is Courtney and Josh.
Yeah.
Courtney was a correctional officer.
Was.
Okay, was at Josh's... his institution, and the story is, which for me doesn't make, like, again, I feel like you're only telling half the story, Courtney, is that, like, she was raiding his, doing a room raid, and found these letters that he had written, and in the letters basically was just saying how he always didn't feel seen, felt like, you know, just didn't really see the true value in himself, and that resonated with her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the real story.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if that's what, I mean, again, I don't know if that's the story that she took in her plea deal. So that's the story that she has to take, because she is, like, he was incarcerated at a prison. And so I'm assuming it is, like, a state prison. So I don't know if that necessarily constitutes as, like, a federal offense. But, you know, it's not only a rule that you cannot be a staff member at a institution, yeah, and date an inmate, you know, one, for professional reasons.
Yeah.
I think that it's appropriate for two, but, like, also, girl, like, you, and mind you, she was like a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could offer him information. You could help him escape. And, like, you know, and so, again, Courtney was head over heels for this young man, Josh.
Yes.
So much so that on her off days at work, she would go into work, put a wig on.
Yeah.
To go visit Josh. Now, I might have said Dante was a torso. Like, he's a torso missing on a torso doll. But I'm willing to think that Courtney is the baloney missing from
Doug's. You don't think that her disguises worked, Bryce? You don't think anybody recognized her with a wig on?
Like, girl, you're a lieutenant at this facility, okay? Yeah. You don't think... honestly, Rob, that's like, you know what? I'm gonna come to Raleigh to visit you, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to put a wig on, knock on the door, and be like, hey, I'm Patrick. I'm Nicole's friend. Me and Nicole are, yeah, going to hang out, like, you, like,
Rob,
girl.
Yeah.
Right? Girl.
Hmm. Nicole, did you have a friend named Patrick?
And then I'm
young
just
young man at the door.
He said, "It's a Patrick."
It's a Patrick. Patrick!
And you gonna be like, oh, okay, Patrick. Like, girl, you work at a prison.
Yeah.
Okay. Prisons are high tech nowadays. Like, girl, there are cameras. There are, like, you don't think your girlfriend that you eat lunch with, Shirley, that's working the cameras today, is like, that girl looked like Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, okay, to the prison's failure, she got away with it 8 times. And I don't know when they busted her, but I would assume that they probably busted her while she was there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's like the Scooby-Doo ending. Like, let's see who you really are visiting Josh again. It's Lieutenant Courtney.
Yeah, I would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for all you troublemakers here. Should have worn my pickle costume.
Okay. But Courtney, before we lock you up, can you just approve payroll for the next 2 weeks? So, and it's a federal offense. Like, she had to do 60 days in jail. And is on 2 years probation. Then, I ain't never heard of this old witchcraftery stuff. So then, okay, Doug is in jail. And yep. So after, you know, she served her, you know, A&E 60 days in, Doug proposed to her by getting a tattoo artist to actually draw a pretty realistic photo of you on his arm. Now, mind you, if you never got caught, Courtney, do you think it would have been awkward if you were still the lieutenant and the sergeant lieutenant in the prison and Josh is walking or Doug is walking around or Josh? Not Doug, okay? Doug over there eating his
bologna. Doug senior or junior.
Yes. That an inmate has a photo of you on his arm?
Hmm.
But, I mean,
could he put like different wigs on the tattoo?
I don't know. But, I mean, that's kind of like with the marriage rate that it is in America today.
Yep.
And the fact that you done got fired from your job. And the fact that you are dating an inmate. And the fact that this is your third possible marriage. Like I don't know if I want to, like, put my proposal on my arm. Will you marry me? What if she said no?
She wasn't going to say no. The woman is sneaking into the correctional facility in a wig. That is the most guaranteed yes of all time.
But I just feel like, and first of all, who was the tattoo artist? Okay, Doug in prison. And that thing looked pretty good.
It looked pretty good.
I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So, it gets better. Now, Rachel feels like the system is out to get her and Doug. Well, one, I never heard of this witchcraftery before. I never heard that you could get married to somebody.
Double proxy.
A double proxy. Now, what the hell is a double proxy?
I never heard of that.
Double proxy sound like something you need to put on something if you jam something in the torso too hard. Sound like you might need a double proxy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, so y'all don't got to be there, but somebody standing y'all. Like, so I get if, like, it could be, like, notarized. Like, you know, you sign it, you send it to the priest. The priest sign it. They send it over there to Doug and then or Josh. And mind you, I can't stop saying Doug. But Josh signs it, and then maybe you get it, like,
notarized.
Power stamp. Notarized. Yeah. But that's, like, why you need somebody to stand in for you?
Would you do that for me if I was going to have a second marriage, Bryce? Would you stand in for me?
I don't know if
so I don't have to go, if I have the podcast that day.
I don't know, because I'd more than likely probably be, you know, still friends with Nicole. So I don't know if I could do that. I don't know.
Nicole Jr. Nicole the third. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. You're still dressed like Patrick.
Yeah. You're probably the one. Nicole, I had to come here in a costume to tell you what was going on. Bob has another girlfriend. Her name's Nicole Jr.
And she's in the dishwasher.
She's in the dishwasher.
And Anthony found it, and Rob said it was a knee brace.
There's 11 pounds of bologna in the refrigerator.
Oh, Oh, okay. So,
and he's hopped up on non-alcoholic booze.
And he wants his new girlfriend to adopt him. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, hold on, wait. I think that was going to be that funny. No, wait, because I still need to cuss Courtney out. So,
yeah.
She's upset because they may not let Josh parole to her house. Why? Because she's on parole. Everybody knows that when somebody's paroling home to somebody, it can't be any felons in the house. And guess what, girl? You're a felon. So, but they'll let him come home and quarantine for 14 days, and then he got to go somewhere else. Yeah, that's all weird to me. I don't understand it, but I feel like the 14 days is going to be enough. But so again, Doug gets out, and Doug, why I keep saying it's that baloney, Josh gets out. So Courtney is going to pick up her husband. However, she got to bring her friend with her.
Mm-hmm.
Because. Yeah. Courtney is banned from the facility.
Yeah.
So she can't go in. So she got to get her friend to go pick him up, to go then meet up at this little hot spot. Now, there was this random meme that was a dill pickle that said, I don't even know what it said.
Yeah. But it was a pickle. And the pickle is saying in the meme, I'm kind of a big dill.
Okay. Yeah. Not, it's not even funny.
I think that's what Rachel said about Doug. She said she knew. She found out that he was a big deal also.
Okay. I don't know. Not that funny, but maybe she was on the Courtney and Josh type tip, because Courtney and Josh, she was able to Courtney Jr. Josh in visiting.
Hmm. Oh, so do you think...
I mean, Nicole Jr. Josh in visiting. Yeah. So,
ironically, Josh Jr. is also a pickle.
So she wants to dress up as a pickle to surprise her husband, who has been incarcerated for 11 years. Yep. Now, this is only my assumption. But I would think, you tell me what you think, Robert.
Okay.
A man that has just served 11 years in prison, I am pretty sure the first thing he does not want to see when he gets out of prison is a pickle.
He's seen enough pickles.
He's seen enough pickles, okay? Maybe not enough for me, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think, like... Girl, that's weird, okay? And first of all, I feel like, Courtney, you should know by now, you're not that great with disguises. Like, you know, you should just leave him alone.
She's not the master of disguise.
So, and of course, the episode ends, like, as soon as he gets out the car, and he's like, where is she? Okay, girl, you dressed in a pickle. And then another thing that pissed me off about that little scene is that the girlfriend had to go pick the guy up. Now, mind you, I actually have the experience of, you know, picking my brother up from jail. So, you know, me, my mom, and my stepdad, like, so it's a process. Like, you know, you don't just pull up. It's not like, you know, you picking, you know, Dominic and Anthony up from school. You know, you just drive by and they, like, you know, jump. Like, no, it's a process. So for me, what annoyed me about Courtney was, girl, I want to just go on arm in the limb and say, like, you've had about 45 minutes to, like, you know, get this costume together. So why is it that, like, when the car, like, she's like, oh, no, I think they're coming. The girl don't even have a costume on. The girl ducks down and tries to put the costume on while she's on the ground. Like,
right.
Something ain't right. Like, Courtney need to meet Dante. I feel like they would be a match made in heaven.
Yeah. And when she jumps out in a pickle costume, that Josh might just knock this pickle out. Some random pickle comes up to me, and it's going to scare the hell out of me.
Oh. I mean, listen, I ain't opposed to seeing a random pickle, so I don't know. I might not punch it. But like, yeah, girl, weird. Like, your relationship's not going to work, okay? Girl, you got fired from your job, okay? You're on 2 years probation. I think you need to... You need to go see the rabbi. Ask for some blessings. I don't know. But the last couple that we met this week was, whoo, child. Stan
the man.
Stan is 65 years old. And Lisa. Now, when Lisa popped up, when her name popped up on the screen, I wrote 45. Now, I'm going to have to go back and rewind because, WeTV be making a lot of mistakes, or maybe WeTV was, like, telling the truth. Because then, Stan was saying that Lisa was 35.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just feel like WeTV likes to be shady like that. But anyway, child, Stan and the AARP gang, him and his own homeboys, was out at a
batting cage.
A batting cage. Okay. Like, weird. Okay. It's pop, 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 and pop. Okay. At a batting cage. Not to say that you can't be 65 and still, like, but child, the way they was throwing them balls and like Stan's like, that's all you got. Like, okay.
Yeah.
But in the guy circle, Stan is the player.
Yeah.
His wife died, and I think that he said since his wife died, and mind you, he's a one-man type of... Wait, how do you say it? One-man lady man or one...
Monogamous.
Monogamous. He's a one lady per guy.
Dude.
Papa. And he was saying that he had been dating or has dated up to like 12 dates or women. But okay, we all know about writeaprisoner.com. okay, we all know about paper dolls. But child, now Stanley, okay, is on seniorarrangements.com.
Mm-hmm.
Now for me, That's just very telling as it is. So he met Lisa on seniorarrangements.com, which for me sounds like if you make a payment arrangement, I could senior you later. Okay.
Yeah.
So he met Lisa. They went on a date. They were on his back porch, as he describes it. They were drinking wine and they had sex.
Yeah, that's a good date.
No baloney needed, okay? And he didn't hear from her since. He then got a random message, which, again, for me, I like to poke holes in these people's stories. He's then saying that he got a message that Lisa was needed his help. He answered the phone, and it was the correctional facility. I don't think that that's how that goes, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what the story is, but I doubt if I ever got arrested that the jail is going to call. Hello, can we speak to Robert, please?
Yes.
Hi, Robert, Bryce is in need of help.
Okay, what does he need?
He's in Brewer County Baloney Facility. Like that don't happen. They don't like, no. So I don't know what happened. But, he feels like Lisa is the one. He only has been with her or seen her that one time. And, hasn't seen her since. And normally how arrangements happen is that you pay for an arrangement and you don't see that person again. So I mean, again, I don't know about what senior arrangements is, but I know what arrangements is.
See, I didn't know about the arrangements.
Yeah,
You okay? Listen.
Now I know.
Okay. So you don't listen. You make some arrangements if you want, but so you know he hasn't seen her since, and you know they've reconnected. He is quick to tell us that he has $2.3 million.
Damn.
And, you know, his one friend was like, well, you know, you just sound like a sugar daddy, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know what that friend name was. I'm going to just call him Doug.
Yeah.
But,
Doug
yeah,
Senior.
Yeah. So, his friend is like, you know, they got these things out called sugar babies and sugar daddies out here, Stan. And Stan's like, I don't think this is it. Everything about her is telling me, you know, this is it. So she randomly calls while Doug is out here pitching with the boys. And, you know, she's like, I'm half your age. And he's like, I know. I don't like being with these ladies my age. They always say they back her. They neck her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Makes sense. Yeah.
They need to get a Nicole Jr. Okay. And stop playing. But... when he calls Lisa and is like, you know, I can't wait to see you. You know, I was just showing the boys your photo. And she's like, I don't look anything like that for those photos anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says she has a boy haircut. Is that what she said?
She says she looks like her brother. Now, I would imagine that if I was incarcerated and that, like, you know, I'm talking to my Stanley, you know, I'm going to, like, want to, you know, try to, like, you know, oh, you know, I might gain the weight, but, you know, I'm more pushing for the cushion, you know, I'm more curvy. Like, you know, like, I don't think that I'm going to describe, say, I look like my brother.
Hmm.
You don't think that's weird?
Well, what? Maybe she has a very attractive brother.
I mean, I guess. And Stan's like, no, you don't look like a guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I look like my brother right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then she hits him with the, but it's not about what I look like on the outside. It's about what I look like on the inside. So, I am excited to watch Stan and Lisa, because when I watch the little preview they give you, all I know is Stan is sitting in the car, looked like the police then pulled him over, and Stan is saying, what did I get myself into?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if this one is going to necessarily work out. I don't know if Lisa is Stan's speed.
I mean, I think Stan could take a pill to get the Lisa speed, but yeah. I don't know.
I liked when his friend said, like, oh, she looks healthy. I think I dated her grandmother.
Okay. Stan got real friends. They were trying to tell him, like, mm-hmm. No, Stan, you a sugar daddy, okay?
Yeah.
But, and I like when older guys like Stanley dye their hair.
Yeah.
I always am confused as to, like, so why are your sideburns gray? Why is that, like, piece of hair near your ear brown, and then the rest of the hair, like, a jet black?
Well, I wasn't sure. Is that, you think that's, that he dyed it, or you think that he has a toupee?
So I think the toupee was the black piece, and I think, like, the brown strands are, like, the hair he actually dyed.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Then he
so he's
just
got three things going on?
Then he was like, I'm going to just let the sideburns hang out. The young girls like the salt and pepper. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting bunch of, like, you know, characters, not really a lot. And sometimes that's why when I, like, talk about Love After Lockup, I like to, like, watch two episodes, because sometimes literally, like, one is just a torso toy with no torso. So
yeah, they don't give you every single person like in the first episode.
No, you know, they're not classy like that. But, you know, so what did you think? This is your second installment of a Love After Lockup.
Yeah. No, I really like the show. It's very much the format that I like on the 90 Day Fiancé. I like seeing all the couples. I love mess. And so this is a great show. I set the season pass. That means I'm swiping right. Send me more episodes.
Okay.
And then you could skip the ones that are, you know, oh, like, okay, well, I don't know about this couple. And then you just, you know, I got to see what's going on with Deontay and Nicole Jr.
I would like to see if Nicole Jr. Makes another appearance for sure. And I definitely want to keep my eye out on Doug Jr. and see how Doug Jr. and his daddy. I want to see if he really punches his daddy in the stomach when he gets out.
I hope not.
I think Doug Jr. is going to keep his promise.
Yeah, I think Doug doesn't play. I would not punch Doug in the stomach or call him a douche. I would give him his bologna and I would say Happy Father's Day, and that's it.
You're not going to play.
Let me get back to my video game.
Yes. Let me pick the controller up. But yeah, so I appreciate you so much, Robert, for coming on and talking love after lockup with your baby boy. Happy early Father's Day. What do you got cooking over there in the RHAP
realm? Just going through the Survivor Top 40 countdown. No sign of Survivor Kagyan yet as we're counting down the top 40 best seasons of all time. Monday, talking about the 16th best season of all time, Survivor San Juan del Sur. And we're in turbo mode. I'll talk about the 15th best season on Saturday, Bryce.
Oh, my God. Y'all going crazy. I love it when y'all reveal what seasons that you guys are watching and then, like, a fan or a cast member is like, how dare you rate this season?
Yeah, it was a vote. It was a vote. It wasn't me. Bryce, you know I've watched 25 seasons of Survivor this year.
Oh, my God, no.
Yep.
Oh, Chile.
Yes. That's why I'm so happy. I'll watch any show that's not Survivor.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, will you watch Dr. Pimple Popper? Is it not Survivor? See, I watched Survivor Go Wrong, which was kind of like both things.
No, not both. Well, Dr. Pimple Popper is my
show.
Like
you like that.
Listen. Yeah, okay. Well, you busy over there. I appreciate you. I'm happy that season 41 is coming back soon. So, you know, It's the Look is coming. You know,
yes.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so I'm so excited for that. And then we got the bathtub ready for you to come by.
Don't listen. And it's so funny. Now, mind you, I meant to tell you this before.
I got the non-alcoholic box wine ready for you.
Listen, you will probably see me sooner rather than later. Wendell texted me the other day, and there is possibly a Beeve delivery to the North Carroll.
Yes. Okay.
But.
Right, this is great. What?
You might not see me.
Oh, you're going to be in the pickle costume?
Patrick might come by for Nicole to say hi. So, you know, I might try to surprise you. But I will definitely keep you posted. You know, we might be making a little Carolina trip.
Nice.
So.
Okay. All right. We'll talk it out offline.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you again, Robert. I holla.
Yes. Okay. All right, Bryce, thank you so much.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. It's a casual tea with Amon and B. It's a casual tea with Amon and B. It's a casual tea with Amon and B.
Casualty. And we are back this week with the casualty with Amon and B.
Back again.
Oh, okay. I like that. Yes, we back again with the casualty. It is Amon and B. What is going on with you, Amon? How are you?
Oh, I am wonderful. Life has been hectic, but great. It's really has been life changing. Some of these restrictions being lifted. I'm being safe. I'm being cautious, but it really does just lift a little weight off your shoulders to know that things are returning a little bit to normal. So I'm having a good time with it.
You ain't never lie. My one friend who does this annual event is called You and Me R&B. It's been in LA. It's been in DC. It's been in Atlanta, and it's been in Philly. And he just like announced a new date for July 3rd. And I'm like, I am excited. Okay. Yes. You should come.
That sounds really fun.
Yes, it's amazing. And he's like the originator of it. There's a lot of people that like that copy it and do like these big events. So it really would be like my first event. I like texted my friend. I was like, you want to go? She was like, yes. And last week, we had Wendell's premiere, and I had me a cute little outfit. And, you know, I've been talking about, you know, I've been on my diet. I've been working out. And, you know, I felt like this week or last week was like the first time I was actually like seeing the results. I was like, yes. So I am more excited for this event, You and Me R&B, because now I gotta get an outfit since I'm looking snatched, okay?
I mean, like, it's, yeah, right? Like, it's having to worry about the kind of stuff again, like outfits and just like,
I love,
you know,
it.
Social interaction. It's just making me like, it's just, it's giving. It's giving very much
what
life
it's supposed to
again.
Give. Yes. So before we get into the casual tea, I do want to give you an update on Invincible.
Yes. How do you like it? Where you at? What's going on?
So, okay. Don't be mad at me. So I think the last time we talked, I was on episode 2. I am currently on episode 4 now because again, like I don't binge it because I just try to slow walk it and enjoy it. But I will say, like, through episode 3 and 4, I do feel like I have stopped seeing it as a cartoon. I feel like I just haven't really been into cartoons in a long time. Not that I don't enjoy them. Like, you know, I watch The Simpsons and The Family Guys and, like, you know, Futurama when I see it on Cartoon Network. But I haven't, like, been into a cartoon in a long time. And I feel like the first couple of episodes, it was hard for me to adjust. But I would definitely say by episode 3 and 4, I'm in. Because the plot, like, it changes. Like, I really get into these characters. Like, first of all, I definitely think, besides Invincible, my favorite character is Eve, okay?
Yes, Adam Eve, baby.
So, that's my girl. Then, I love the fact that, like, you know, at this point, it seems like the robot is doing some shady stuff. It seems like, you know, I almost feel like Invincible's dad is slightly abusive a little bit. You know, and then the fact that Invincible got a black girlfriend, I'm like, oh, so
down with the swirl, baby.
I really am like starting to get to it. And when I watched the last episode, I was like, ooh, bitch, I gotta watch another episode. But I'm like, nope, I'm gonna continue on my regular Thursday night. That's like, I pretend like it's my Thursday night show. So I am loving Invincible. Anyone that's listening, you know, take a mom's advice and check it out. It gets better. I'm like, you know, episode 4. We're about to start episode 5. So, but I really enjoy it. So, and it's funny. You can probably already tell I had my coffee. I tried to drink my coffee like 30 minutes before we started, so I wouldn't be so hype. But I, you know, when I watch shows like this, I don't necessarily get into the voices. But after last, like, 2 weeks ago when we talked and you were, like, telling me all of the people that was in it, I started to be able to, like, hear their voices.
Yes, yes, yes. That was like one of the main draws for me after watching for the first episode. I was like, I know these voices. Like, who are these people? And I was like, and then once I realized who they were, I was like, oh, it just made it that much more interesting for me. So I am glad that you are liking it and that you're enjoying it and that I'm glad that you are, like, you know, parsing it out and making sure that you're, you know, really absorbing all these episodes. That's great. Like, I'm so glad that, like, I'm not the only one that's here like, oh my God, this show is amazing.
I mean, I think you're the only one with that reaction, but I definitely am happy that you are passing it down. Cause I know I definitely think it's good. And it's like something, like I said before, I would never
Why? Like, I would have seen it and kept scrolling. So I
me
love
neither.
It.
Man. I'm really not that big of an, like, I'm not that big on, like, adult cartoons either. Like, I mean, not even, like, as much as I'm a fan of Japanese culture and as long as I've been studying Japanese, like, anime has never really been, like, my forte. So I kind of had the same reaction that you did in the beginning. Like, I don't really know if this is for me, but I have since become obsessed. I'm really debating on whether or not I want to just go ahead and buy the comic book series so I can just know what happens or just wait for season two. I don't know. But I'm liking it very much.
Yes. Well, let's dive into this week's casual tea. Again, it's a fan favorite. We appreciate your support. We love the comments. We love the feedback. I felt like people were gathering me on Twitter when we were talking about Simone Biles and the Fig score. Somebody tweeted me like, that article that y'all read was inaccurate. The scores don't go like that. But mind you, I'm all here for the feedback. I had to tweet back. I said, well, listen, girl, they have never been good at the vault, okay? But baby boy always scores tens when it's jumping to conclusions. But I love that type of dialogue, that because it's like, you know, like, we're just stating our opinions. And I feel like, you know, when you are a member of the Purple Pants Posse, we go together. And this is a place where we can agree to disagree. If you got more information, just send it on down to the baby boy so I can learn. Like, you know, I feel like that is, like, I want to model on this podcast the things that we talk about. Like, you know, we're not always right. We're not, like, you know, but our opinions can be based in our reality of the things that we have experienced. And so if we have not experienced that realm, then it's important to hear from other people, you know, respectfully. So I love that type of, like, back and forth. So I was here for it. But let's get into the casual tea and what we've got first on the tea pot. I need to get a teapot brewing sound. I'm going to work on that. But is Juneteenth. Yes. Happy Juneteenth to everyone this past weekend. I don't know what you did, but I truly tried to, like, celebrate all of my Black and amazing friends. I was going to take it to social media, but I was like, you know what? Let me just do something personal. So, like, all of my friends that, like, I am inspired by or I feel like mean something to me, I sent them, like, paragraph messages, just celebrating them, because I think that it's just important. And so for some of you that may not know what Juneteenth is a day of liberation, in the sense that we know that the Civil War was essentially fought over slavery. And in April, I believe it's April 12th of 1960. Hold on. See, I'd be like so ready and be having all of my stuff ready. But I'm sorry. So President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation on January 1st, 1863, as the Union approached its third bloody year of the Civil War. And so the proclamation stated that all people are free. So that means the slaves were free. And so that's an 1863. Now, a lot of what I always took from the Emancipation Proclamation was that the Union soldiers, baby, we was getting beat. And something that a lot of people don't know about the proclamation is that it meant that people were free, slaves were free, but it also allowed, now catch this tea, it allowed for Black people to fight in the Union Army. Yes. Now, for me, that's like, oh, okay, President Abraham Lincoln, was you really freeing the slaves, or did you just want us as the bodies to fight in the Union? But whatever. So then we fast forward to June 19th, 1865, after the Civil War was over, slaves from the northern states had, like, kind of entered into the southern states, where there were still slaves, and they had made the slaves aware in the southern states that we not slaves no more, okay? Like, you are free. And so it is a very victorious day, in the sense that, like, you know, even after the Civil War ended, okay, even after the Emancipation Proclamation, I don't know why I want to say Mariah Carey's album, but
not that, no.
I don't know why it's like I have to, like, control myself. But yes, even after the Emancipation Proclamation, like, the southern states said, no, we're going to still keep these slaves. So no, that's why
Juneteenth is very important because it is a day of liberation and it should be celebrated. We don't hear it enough in our history books, and it's not talked about. And so a lot of the times when you hear the complaint that the American history is whitewashed, this is one of the things that is very much so true. Like, you know, if people read in history books, they like, oh, you know, in January 1st in 1863, you know, everyone was free. Like, no, that's not the case. And actually, where am I at? Okay. And actually, Juneteenth is a federal holiday in the United States. President Joe Biden signed the bill on June 17, 2021, making Juneteenth the 11th American federal holiday and the first obtained legal observation as a federal holiday since Martin Luther King Day in 1983. So that's huge. However, now, this is where I'm going to need your help, Purple Pants Posse, and you, Amon, is that so it is now currently a federal holiday. However, it's still up to different states to have it as a state holiday. And of course, you know, I'm always digging in this senator's ass, Senator of Georgia, Brian Kemp. Okay. He over there is talking about, well, we'll make it a holiday, but it's not going to be a paid holiday. Somewhere in Georgia's law, in their legislation, they say that they can only have 12 holidays. And so he's willing to add Juneteenth, but it won't be a paid holiday. Okay. So, like, Brian Kemp, like, when is your term over? Because I'm about honestly sick and tired of you in the casualty, okay?
It's been time for him to go. Miss Stacey Abrams tried to get his ass up out of there, but y'all wasn't having it. And, like, look, this is why. Like, disgusted and busted. That's just what he is.
Mm-mm-mm. And then I also saw something interesting. Trevor Noah from The Daily Show tweeted, "Happy Juneteenth, the first U.S. holiday that's illegal to teach about in 15 states. Now, before we went on air, I spent about 20 minutes to try to find the 15 states that it is allegedly illegal to teach about Juneteenth in. And I couldn't really find any articles. The only articles that kept popping up was the articles about how the states are trying to, like, decide whether or not they're going to recognize this as a holiday. But again, that's where I'm confused about, because it's a federal holiday. So, I mean, if it's a federal holiday, that means, like, you know, federal law, in my understanding, oversees all of the states. So, like, you know, that's the federal government. And I do know that, like, the states control different things. So that's the only part that I'm confused about. And I don't understand, like, what the pushback is to not want to recognize this day and not want to honor this day, that even after the Civil War ended, even after the proclamation was signed, like, y'all still had slaves. And it wasn't until some other slaves came down and made them aware over there in Galveston, Texas. Like, so yes, that should be celebrated. And, you know, a lot, like, I was reading some things and where they're just like, it's such a touchy subject, and that's why it's not mentioned in the history books. Well, okay, bitch, history ain't, like, you know, sweet and nice. And that's my problem, is that especially in this country, we don't want to talk about the hard subjects. We don't want to talk about, like, slavery. We don't want to talk about racism. We have to. And I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, but guess what? Like, when you are uncomfortable, you become in a space that you can grow, you can learn. And, like, I stand for Juneteenth. Okay, yes, make it a federal holiday. Like, that's something important. That's important to our history to know that we was free, y'all still was holding us down. And even after that, we know that we really weren't free, because we know about systemic racism. We know about Jim Crow laws. We know all about it. So it's like, stop it. But okay, let me just shut up, because, you know, I go on and on and on.
So I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat as you as it comes to, like, federal versus state. I mean, I assume that as far as federal holidays go, like, most, you know, that means that most entities that are federal, like, workplaces that are federal, will be shut down for the day. So, like, you know, places like DC will be shut down for the day, and other federal entities within states will be shut down for the day. But that doesn't mean that, you know, your local Five and Below is going to shut down, Wendy's is going to shut down, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I think that's kind of where the difference is. Now, states can run that kind of stuff where it's like, yes, we want to have this be a holiday that is time off for all these entities within this state. So I think that's kind of a messy explanation, but I think that's kind of where the discrepancy is.
That makes a lot of sense. I completely, that helps me out a lot. So, like, you know, over the federal level, so like all federal like jobs or whatever over the United States will acknowledge this. But it's up to the states to really say it's a state holiday, and like state employees will get paid and different stuff like that. I get that.
And I think it's still like up to like certain businesses individually to be like, yeah. Because I think Elon Musk tweeted something. I know everybody don't feel some kind of way, but I think he tweeted something saying that like, yeah, at whatever the hell his company is, he's like, it will be a paid time off holiday for all of my employees. So like, yeah, there are still businesses that are able to do that. I work for the DA's office here in Philly, and we got Friday off, and they gave us a comp day. So
yes,
they really out here, like, you know, repenting for their sins. But like, I agree with you entirely. Like, I think it's just so interesting that Juneteenth is being made a federal holiday in the very midst of all of this controversy within the public school system about teaching critical race theory. Like, because Juneteenth to me is literally critical race theory. It is talking about the examination of how race has always been a factor in a lot of the decisions and the culture and the history of this country. It is literally the counterpart of July 4th, right? Like, that's the one that we all know. That's the one that we all grow up and celebrate. Yeah, Independence Day, screw the British people. We're free. We no longer are going to be, you know, under this monarchy. We are going to be a governance of states, and we're going to elect people. We're not going to rely on a monarchy anymore. That's the day that we all know, right? And within that day is still enslavement. So it's like, are we really, like, what are we really celebrating here? As, like, it really takes, as an African American person, you really are forced to be like, okay, I understand that, yes, that was a big step for this country nationally. I get it.
That was built on our backs. A free labor.
But there is still something missing here. And I think that Juneteenth is literally, it's sort of like the principles of critical race theory, where it's like, well, let's examine this through our lens and see what really was going on here. And Juneteenth is literally that. So the reason why there's so much pushback is because these are the same people that are talking about, we don't want our kids learning about this stuff because it makes white people feel bad about themselves. It separates us. I tweeted out, I was like, oh my goodness, we're going to make Juneteenth a federal holiday. You know, July 4th is cute or whatever, but cute next to gorgeous. And then I got this tweet from this guy saying, oh, why are you, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. Why are you comparing the two? Just like, be happy or whatever. And I'm like,
no,
sir.
Sir. Here's my point. I almost feel like, and again, hear me in this context, I almost feel like I'm appreciative of the holiday, you know, but for me, it's superficial. If we're not going to really talk about it, if we're not really going to address it, then like, I feel like the Band-Aid, it's like a, we gonna give you this holiday here, now be quiet. Like, no. Thank you for the holiday. I think that it is a starting point, and for the people that be like, oh, you guys should be happy, like, no, actually, we shouldn't be happy for a holiday. We actually should be happy for a change. We actually should be happy for acknowledgement, okay? Like, there's a difference, and so, like, it's just, like, sometimes frustrating to me, because it's like, yes, I want to celebrate this holiday, and I do, but, and, you know, for it to be recognized on a federal level is great, but, like, are y'all really recognizing it? Like, because if you were to recognize it, then I really feel like you would acknowledge it, and if you acknowledge it, then you would be able to understand
why black people feel the way that we do. And if you like, and if it's not evident in the George Floyd, if it's not evident in the, like, everything that we see, it's just like so clear. Now, mind you, I also saw, this is a very serious topic, but I also saw a tweet where some guy was like, hey, Moneybag Joe, you think we can get a 1863 Juneteenth
semi-check? I saw that too. I was like, yes, you better get what you can, baby.
Okay. And I mean, and then it also kind of sort of brings up the conversation of like reparations. And I mean, we won't get into that on this pod because it's a lot. But I mean, I feel like, bitch, we're due. Like, you know, that like, we are due for that. Like, I don't understand why, like, that's a hard concept. That was like something that was said that was going to be given. And where is it at?
Yeah, where it's at, baby. It's definitely a conversation that I've had to recently become a lot more educated on, and you know, have my opinions weighed, because I remember, and we don't have to get into it, but like, I just remember like when that conversation first, like, I was made aware of the reparations conversation. I was like, there is no way this country is going to dole out cash to Black Americans simply because of its sins. But I mean, the same thing can be said about Juneteenth. Like, this started as a little bit of like a celebration down in Texas. That wasn't nobody really, you know, in on Juneteenth. I found out about Juneteenth maybe 7 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, it's relatively new for me, at least in my lifetime. And all of a sudden now it's a federal holiday. And it's not to say that there were a lot of people in Texas pushing for it, but it was an idea that was born. And it has since spread, and now it's becoming commercialized, which is kind of crazy. Did you see that one poster for that gay circuit party at Fire Island? At the bottom of poster, it said the password is Juneteenth.
With the white man partying. I was like, you know what? Yes, I saw it. I was like, okay, this is interesting.
See, I was understanding the critiques about like the commercialization of it, but I was like, you know what? Let people like get their, you know, let people get high for a little bit. It'll subside, and the real people that want to celebrate will celebrate. But then when I saw that, I was like, okay, y'all are out here. Y'all know how to behave.
It's giving very much a stretch for me. But yeah, so definitely that is our Juneteenth topic. We can go on and on about it, but I am happy that it's recognized. I feel like it's a step in the right direction, but best believe it's just a step. And we've got leaps and bounds to make.
Yes.
And hopefully in our lifetime, but this is definitely a step. The next thing that is brewing on the teapot is this viral video that is like, it seems to be circulating on my timeline. And in my social media, you know, I follow a lot of I follow a lot of pro LGBTQ stuff. I have a lot of like gay followers, a lot of so I'm very much in that realm. And there is a video floating around of a young boy. His name is Tyler. We don't really know a lot of information about him, but it looks like it is in Atlanta, Georgia. And he is essentially on video, on Instagram Live, being abused by his mother and father. And in the sense of, his mom is videoing him. And it looks like I'm not sure if anyone would know this reference, but they gave him a George Jefferson haircut, where, like, you know, when black men get their hair cut, we get a shape up, you know, around the peak. So they literally pushed his hairline back to essentially like make fun of him. And they had edged in the side of his hair with the clippers gay. And it looks like his dad is in the video, and his dad is like, "You still doing that gay stuff?" And like, when I mean like physically like pushing him and like punching him, like, "You gonna stop doing that? Stop doing that." And it is making its way around the internet. And, you know, people are literally saying like, "This is child abuse." Like, you don't think? Absolutely it's child abuse. So I tried to do a little more investigation. And the only update that I could find on the video was that the child welfare service in his particular county has been notified, and they are currently
currently investigating. And so that's all that I know from the video. And then when I was doing a little more research, there maybe like a couple of days later, another video of the little boy resurfaced. And he is essentially saying like, hey, guys, I'm fine. That was just my brothers and my dad, you know, just trying to like, you know, tough love. But it is very evident in this video that he is being coached. You can hear someone in the background like, say it, say it. And so, you know, trying to do damage control. And so I just thought that this like was important, especially like, you know, it is June, Pride Month. And, you know, specifically, I can only talk about what I know. And from my experience, I know that this is common behavior in the Black community, where, you know, when they see femininity in a child, there are some parents that can accept it and allow the child to flourish. And there are other parents that literally try to beat it out of their child. And it just like annoys the hell out of me that in 2021, we are still like not coming to grips with the fact that like this is not something that we choose. This is who we are. And if you can't accept this being that is derived from you, you shouldn't be a parent. And I really hope that the child welfare and that county, you know me, I was a child welfare worker for almost a decade, investigates this and presses charges, because that's abuse. And it's just like, you know, that type of trauma that they have instilled in this child. And although he might be resilient and get over it, like, you just don't know how that will manifest, you know, right, into it, what it will mean. Like, and it's just like, and again, I feel like we come back to this conversation that we've had a thousand times about like the importance of representation, importance of like, you know, so this little boy is like not only being beat, he's being like emotionally and physically abused. And it's just like, who is he to look to? It's just like so frustrating that we are still having this conversation.
When I barely could even watch the video because it was just so, like, yeah, I mean, everything that you just said, like, it's just a constant reminder of just how many people are out here suffering, because you think that he's the only one that's going through this right now at this point in time, and he's so young. He's so young. I mean, not even, like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was, I forget his name, but, you know, may God rest his soul, this, like, teenager who killed himself, another young Black kid, because of the fact that he was getting bullied, and because he was gay, and he decided he just didn't want to do this anymore, and he ended his life. And this is the stuff that kind of shit breeds, like all of this humiliation, and then to go ahead and put it on Facebook. That's the thing that is like, or Instagram, whatever the hell. That's the thing that really gets me. Is like, you, not only are you doing this to this child, but you are under the impression that all the people in your Instagram live feed are going to be like, yeah, yeah, get him. You know what I mean? Like, you think that what you're doing is okay. And that's the thing that really, really just kills me. It's because like there are still pockets of people, and I know this in the back of my mind, but when you get reminded of it, it's just very discouraging. There's still these large pockets and swaths of people that are determined to believe this stuff and to spread this sort of hate. Like, this kid is, how old is he? Like, what? Like, he's gonna be so damaged from this, and it's gonna take him, you know, and I don't want to put this on him, but maybe it won't. Maybe he'll come out of this and it'll be a lot better for him later in his life. But the potential for so much damage here is just astounding and staggering. Like, the way that he'll have to recover, the way that he'll have to heal, the way that he'll have to mentally be able to get through this stuff, get through all of this, like, imposed self-hatred, like, That's the thing that really just pisses me off, because now he has to spend all this time doing all of this work on himself because of the shit that you did to him.
Mm-hmm. And he was just living his best life. And the video for me was just like so triggering. Like, I literally saw myself in Tyler, and it just like took me back to my childhood, like, you know, being like bullied by my brothers, being like bullied at school, being like, they're just like, it just, I just thought of like just a lot of the traumatic things that I
have decompartmentalized, but in my adult life, I feel like, you know, rear their ugly heads in different aspects of my life. And, you know, again, caused me to do like a lot of self-reflection and a lot of like self, you know, just evaluation. And it just kind of really brings me to the point that, like, you know, whenever I say like I'm black and I'm gay, and, you know, people are like, why do you have to lead with that? Like, you know, you don't have to, like, no. Unfortunately for me and my life, like, I don't have the opportunity to not live in my truth. Like, you know, like, it's very evident. So instead of me not acknowledge, like, I will accept who I am and I'll be proud of it for very reasons like this, for videos like this video of Tyler, because it's just a lot that we have to deal with. And it's just like in 2021, you know, when people are like, oh, that, like, why are they showing gay scenes on TV like that? They're pushing an agenda. No, bitch, they're not pushing no agenda. It's life. But you can have like heterosexual sex on the TV. Sex can sell. But when it comes to, you know, like gay men or like a gay romantic scene and make y'all uncomfortable, like, and y'all need to check yourself, because it's like, no, there's no agenda, there's representation. And what you don't realize is that there are people like Tyler that live in those, whoo, you about to get me to cuss, but that live in them type of fucking conditions that don't see anything. And so him seeing something on TV literally could be his escape to be like, oh my god, there is life after this. So like, no, it is very important, and it's not pushing an agenda. And somebody that is heterosexual seeing a gay kissing scene on TV is not going to make them gay. And guess what? Sexuality is a spectrum. You could be a heterosexual man and guess what? Have had a gay experience. And guess what? That's completely normal. Like, I don't understand where we get into this topics of like, it's like, it annoys me. Like, yes. You can experiment in life. You can find out what you like, what you don't like. It's like these labels kill me. So it's just like, ugh.
Which, I mean, and you mentioned all of the queerness that happens in television and all of that and the pushback against that, which is a wonderful segue, if you don't mind, into Disney Pixar's latest film, Luca. So this came out literally this past Friday. First of all, I just want to say, I really enjoyed the film. I thought it was cute. I thought it was charming. I cried at the end. Pixar got me again, y'all. They did. But, you know, there were a few reviews that came up before I saw the film, which I was kind of pissed off that I saw, because I didn't want to, you know, that I didn't want to, you know, spoil myself before seeing. I just wanted to kind of go into it blind. One of the most famous reviews right now for it is a New York Times article called Calamari by Your Name. So Luca is about this merman / sea monster who, upon coming out of the sea, can turn into a human, and then he finds this other sea monster, and they sort of, like, you know, examine what it is to be human, and they, you know, go on an adventure in the human world. And the reason why the article titled themselves Calamari by Your Name is because they're some queer coding within the relationship between Luca and his friend. And it brings up the conversation once again about Disney Pixar and how they just have this, it seems like, this big hesitation to just have one titular gay character, like, just explicitly gay, or at the very least queer, in their major motion picture. Like, it's a critique that they've had for a long time, and it's a conversation that I got into with my roommate about, because he is like, just no, they're Disney is trash. They like to parade themselves around and, you know, celebrate pride and put the rainbow colors on Disney Castle and do all this stuff and sell all this merchandise, this rainbow shit, but where's representation? Why do we keep having these articles every other year about, oh, it's Disney's first gay character, and then it's like a background lesbian couple in Toy Story 4, a background lesbian couple that gets to kiss at the end of Rise of Skywalker, a offhand line from voiced by Lena Waithe in the Onward film. It's like, why can't we just have why can't we just have some gay people in a main role? And are out here just being gay And that's it. And so while I tend to be a lot more on the side of optimism when it comes to stuff like this, because I believe that it is coming. I believe that I've seen some shorts from Pixar that depict gay characters, like explicitly gay characters. It's not a major movie, but I know that there is change coming, but I think it is really a huge problem that we just can't seem to get past that, especially since there are other, networks that are doing that already. It's like Disney, you are the biggest entertainment right. company in the world. If you can't set this precedent, who else is going to do it? You know what I mean? So I don't know if you've seen the film yet, but I recommend it. But I totally understand where people are coming from when they're like, okay, these boys are clearly, something's going on between these boys, but y'all don't want to say it, but we see it. So what y'all doing?
So, give me an example of the coding that, since you did see the film, like, what is some of the coding? Like, give me an example of the coding in the film.
So, I don't want to, I'm trying not to spoil it, but, so, there
spoiler
is,
alert.
Spoiler alert. So, the kid's, his name is Luca, his friend's name is Alberto. They go to land. The whole premise of the show, or the movie, is about how they want to, get a Vespa and explore the world together, right? And the very notion of, like, Luca even coming out of the sea, because Alberto has already been on land before, and he's like, it is what it is. And he's trying to coax Luca out of the sea, or out of the closet, and being, open to this new way of living. And then once they finally do get past that hurdle, now it's time to try to get the Vespa, and they meet this other girl, tells them about this race that takes place in her town in which you win prize money for and they can buy the Vespa. And so they start spending a lot of time with her. She starts teaching Luca a lot about human life. And then you see Alberto start to get very jealous of the fact that he is spending more time with the girl and not with him. And so there's like a lot of, there's a lot of that kind of energy going on there. So while I don't necessarily think that this movie set out to be a queer film, I understand why people are like, there's energy here between these two boys, and why not just go the whole way if you're gonna do this? Right. You know what I mean? So it's a very dicey situation, because like I said, I liked the film. I really liked it. They got me in the end. I really appreciated the film for what it was, but I understand the critique that people have for it. Totally do.
Yeah. And I feel like this, it's been a common trend with children's TV show and movies for years. Like, you think back to the Muppets, Bert and Ernie, who clearly two men, adult men living together. Mm-hmm. And then, I think in what, like 2019, then they came out and said that Bert and Ernie are gay. And then even more, the Rugrats. And the Rugrats is going, I don't think it's Pixar, but the Rugrats, they're coming out with a new film. And I read an article where, I don't know if you remember, but they're like, the Rugrats. And then there's like the twins who have that like mom. And I like read an article mm-hmm. that in the upcoming movie, like the mom will be an open lesbian character. Again, mm-hmm. like a B-side. But yeah, like, we are turning the curve. But again, like there is this, for whatever reason, this fear that if children see gay images on the TV, it's going to turn them gay. But
I would be straight if that were the case.
Okay. And then it's like, for me, I just like, again, child welfare. So does that mean a child that sees his mom drinking and doing alcohol, does that like automatically equate to like, no, it doesn't. Like, I hate that critique. And it just, for me, so random, and mind you, I was trying not to be long-winded. So there's this new show on BET that I really want to talk about on the podcast soon. It's called Encore. And so it is the premise of like Making the Band. You remember Making the Band with like, mm-hmm. Danity Kane and the band. And so yes. The premise of the show is
is, and mind you, it is produced by, I think, Carlos King, who produces Real Housewives of Atlanta, and then Candy's Barrow's husband, Todd Tucker, him and Carlos produced the show. So it is about bringing together, like, R&B singers who were in girl groups from, like, the 90s and 2000s, and for them to make a super group. Now, y'all, if anybody that know me, know this is my type of show. Like, because, mind you, I love any show that's about music, and I always love the music that they put out. Like, you know, bitch, I love a Danny Kane. I love The Dream. If you remember Candy when she had that slight show, the Hit Factory, child, I downloaded all the songs.
Did you watch Chasing Destiny with Kelly?
Yes.
It's
very so much, like, I love this show. And so there is Nivea on the show, and I love Nivea. There's Keely from 3LW. There is Farrah and Fallon from the group Cherish. Hey, 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 do it, do it, do it. I feel it really unappreciate. Like, so them.
Yes. And then
we've got...
And Aubrey's on there, right?
Yes, Aubrey from Dandy Kane. We have Pam from 702. No, Pam from Total. Total, help me sing. Total, help me sing. And then we have... the two girls from 702, Irish and whatever. So it's really good because, like, the spectrum of the, like, the ages are...
Yeah, that's all, a nice crop.
It's a lot. Now, mind you, my one critique of the show was that it's too many girls. Like, you know, it's like, okay, five at the most. Like, but it's like, you can't really create a super... Like, it's just too many girls. So, whatever. So...
Yeah, like, this is like some K-pop band stuff. Like,
right.
Like, 10,000 people on stage.
It's just too much. So, I won't really get into a lot of it because I really do want to do a review of it. But if anybody that listens that loves, like, R&B, 90s music, and reality TV, and you like the band, I really think that you would like Encore on BET. However, Pam from Total... one scene I just want to talk about because I feel like it's on subject, and then we can get to the last casualty for this week's episode. Pam from Total. Pam, when she was in Total, was like the wild member. Like, you know, back in the day, there weren't like TMZ in the Shade Room, but if there were, she probably would have been on it a lot. Like, you know, I remember just like hearing stories, and I remember, like, you know, my Word Up magazine, and like there were always pictures of, like, Pam out partying and like doing whatever. And so she is now a born again Christian and leads with Jesus Christ, and like, you know, they're creating a song, and she's like, I just want to say that, like, I don't want to sing about, like, you know, sex and all of that stuff. Like, that's just not where I'm at in my life, and that's fine. That's whatever you choose to do. So there is one scene where they're in the studio, and like Pam is sitting on the chair, and Aubrey, like, maybe just got done recording, and Aubrey's like sitting on the floor, and she kind of like leans on Pam a little bit. And mind you, they're not even like, it's like Keely from 3LW and the Cherish sisters are like maybe in a disagreement. And so Aubrey is just like chilling, like, you know, like she sat on the floor, but Pam was sitting next to her. So she like kind of extended her arm, kind of like give you a little bit more comfortable. And so then they're like, okay, guys. And so Pam out of nowhere was just like, hey, I just, like, you know, if I don't speak up for myself, nobody will. I just don't, like, she was like, I, you know, Aubrey, like, nothing against you, but like, you had your arm on my leg, and I just wanted it to be clear that, like, I, like, that's, I'm real uncomfortable with stuff like that. I used to deal with women in the past, and I don't want that imagery out there because, like, you know, God has brought me through that. And up until this point, I was like Team Pam because one, she's in Total. Love Total. And two, I really thought her energy was good. But those type of statements. And so it kind of sort of caused a little bit of an uproar. And then Keely kind of sort of brought it up, but it never was really addressed. And then, you know, Shamari from Black is on there. And Pam kind of went upstairs and told Shamari this. And Shamari was like, yeah, like, you know, you got to set your boundaries. Like, you know, like, no, like, it's not about setting your boundaries. If you didn't want her, the young lady, touching you, you could just like have like removed her arm, and that would have been the end of it. But for you to get up there and make this statement, and again, I like, and you born again, it is what it is. But for me, for her to say, he brought me through that, I just like, it's those type of messages from those type of people that, and mind you, Pam very much still gives me, you're in the lifestyle. But for whatever, I'm not here to judge or whatever, because I can read her down, but I'm on a roll to a better Bryce.
But it's just like, that type of stuff bothers the F out of me, because like, you are reinforcing to people that like, oh, look at pain, like, you know, God can bring you through that. And it's like, you know, people love to use
bring
the Bible
through what, sis?
Like, right. Like, people just love to use the Bible to, like, condemn homosexuality, and I hate it. And, like, you know, the more older I get, I realize that I am less religious, but more spiritual. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, that comment from her pissed me the fuck off. And now it's like, girl, I don't like you. I don't want to see you. And I don't even want to hear total right now, because it's just like,
and we know it constantly, you know, just that the black church has always had such a really, really bad dealing with homosexuality. It just tell us all this time, and it is very just discouraged. Like, because, yeah, you're right. Like, if she just didn't want somebody touching her, like, if you didn't want the girl
just
touching
say
you,
that.
Just say, hey, can you move your arm, please? Like, I'm not really comfortable with that. It would have been fine.
Like, or just move your leg. Get up.
Or just move.
Sorry, like, I'm screaming at you.
Yeah, no, you're fine. Like, you don't gotta do all. You don't have to get up on this soapbox and talk to us about how Jesus then brought you through the trials and tribulations and the vexations of the spirit. Like, get out of here. Like, we're here to sing. We're here to sing. Okay, right. We're not here for any of that. So.
It speaks to your own insecurities. Girl, you must have liked it, okay? You must have been feeling a ting-ting somewhere, because, like, stop it. And, like,
It's a delicate situation, because people's beliefs are their beliefs. I understand. Right. Like, I'm not really here to change anybody's mind the way that no one should be here to change mine. I just think
And you know what? And when the more I thought about it, Iman, and it's like, she wasn't, and again, I might be reading her right now, but you guys go watch this episode 2. Tell me what you think. The real problem for me was that I didn't feel as though it was any malicious intent by it. Like, I didn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't right. feel mm-hmm. like, and like, mm-hmm. the, and I had like, and that is what got me. That really was the problem for me. Like, is that like, and again, I don't think that she meant anything by it. I don't think that she was trying to judge. She just was like, you know, spilling, like, you know, just like whatever. And that is the point that kind of sort of like bothered me the most about
it's the
it.
Same thing with Tyler. Like, the fact that they shared that, it's like, y'all think that this is how it is. Like, and part of them are right, because that's how it's been for a long time. And we're just now coming to the fact where we're reckoning with all of these effed up beliefs that we've had and effed up practices that we've engaged in. And now all of a sudden we are being like, you know, queer people, like, you know, we're not dealing with this anymore. Like, it's time for y'all need to get this together, because we're not killing ourselves anymore. We're not hiding ourselves anymore. We're not, you know, out here like living in these designated spaces and in the shadows of life, not being real, really fully realized human beings anymore. Like, we want the same thing that y'all got, the ability to stroll this earth, bang who we want, kiss who we want. And it just is what it is. We're not doing this anymore. And so there's so much pushback now because they've never had to deal with all these queer people in their face being like, I'm gay and I'm queer and I'm here, and like, it is what it is. Like, and so now it's like, oh, it's everywhere. You're shoving it down our faces. I just want you to know that the Lord doesn't want that for you. Like, that's not what don't engage in sins of the flesh. Like, get out of here. Like, it's y'all have been preaching the same stuff from the same old musty dusty book for forever. It's late and it's tired and it's old. Like, can we move past this, please? Like, I promise you, it's really not going to have that much of a difference in your life what's going on with that dude and that other dude in their bed, and that girl and that other girl in their bed. It don't got nothing to do with you.
Right.
You're going to be fine.
Okay, and if you are making it your business, then maybe you need to do some soul searching.
Exactly. Exactly.
catch that casualty. Okay, catch it. So the last casualty we got this week is Chrissy Teigen. And then there's like a slight like pivot on it. Michael Costello. So I want to like
this
just briefly
is a
talk
mess. This a child, whole thing is a mess.
A hot mess. And it kind of reverts back to our cancel culture conversation that we had. And I think that this like what we spoke about cancel culture and how that like, you know, can people change? Can they evolve? Will we allow them to change? I think that this is a prime example. You know, Chrissy Teigen has been receiving backlash for a couple of months now. It was revealed back in, like, I don't know, 2016. She was cyberbullying a 16-year-old. I forget the star's name. And, like, basically saying that, like, she should kill herself, like, in her DMs. And then, like, this recently became public. And we all know, like, Chrissy Teigen, over the last couple of years, has become famous for like being married to John Legend, and being a, you know, a commentator in the sense that, like, you know, she always claps back at people. You know, she's really big clapping back at like Donald Trump and things like that. So people are always like, yes, like Chrissy, like, you know. So this kind of sort of came out and it has really kind of sort of affected her brand. Like, you know, she's lost sponsorships. People are pulling out from her cookware line. Like, you know, essentially people are saying cancel Chrissy Teigen. So that's one aspect of it. And I, like my thoughts on it are like, I definitely don't agree with any of anything that the language in which that she was like using with that 16-year-old, like telling her to kill herself and really trolling her. So I don't. Like, I'm not with that. And so I do think that there should be like repercussions for that. However, my one caveat to that is I ain't never sliding in nobody's DMs. I ain't never going out of my way to whatever. However, if I'm minding my business on Twitter and you at me, I don't care if you're 6 months old. I don't care if you're 13 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm going to clap back. But like, you know, I'm going to gather you. I'm not going to tell you to kill yourself, but I'm going to gather you. And then that's going to be that. I'm not sliding in your DMs. I'm not like seeking that like out like no. So, yeah, she was absolutely wrong for that. However, like, I don't know how I feel in a sense that it was like in 2016. We're now in 2021. Now these allegations are coming out. And I guess the little girl has come out, and said how much it has affected her, how much it's been traumatized by her, and how much it has affected her mental health. And so that really is the sad part about this story. And so I'm curious to know, like, what your thoughts are before we bring, like, the other part in.
I think Chrissy Teigen, she effed up here. Like, you're out here bullying this girl. Like, what? And like, you said it was in 2016.
Something don't. This? Yes.
Around that time, like, mm-hmm. Chrissy, you are, and please, for people that are listening to this, don't take this to mean that, you know, when you are in proximity to wealth, that should automatically make you a better person, because we know that that's the opposite. But what the point that I'm going to make is, you are the wife of one of the most famous singers on the planet right now. You have brand deals. You've been on television shows. You have been like in the public eye, in a fantastic light as like this wonderful human being who is fighting against the machine and has all these things to say about Trump and is for the people and relatable, and your Twitter is popping and you have all of these quote unquote good things in your life. What are you doing in the mentions of some teenage girl telling her to that she needs a dirt nap? Like, what is going on in your life that you don't, that you're not busy enough to right. be preoccupied with that? So this to me, like, because a lot of people have been saying things about Chrissy Teigen on and off for years. I never really gave it that much of attention because I was just like, people are going to talk about celebrities. It is what it is. But this to me was very shocking because I was like, girl, why? Why? For what reason? This girl doesn't have anything to do with you. Why do you feel the need to do all of this? And it's like, I understand that, like, people are going to judge that girl for being in a relationship with someone that was, like, twice her age. Like, it is what it is. But, like, you are someone of influence. Like, you have to know that your words are going to be more impactful. You have to. You make your living off of social media, Chrissy Teigen.
Right.
Because what else are you doing?
Georgia, don't do that. Yeah, but not right. And so, and again, me playing devil's advocate and just not reflect my actual opinions on the situation. 2016, you know, cancel culture was not as, like, you know, is there not room for Chrissy to have learned from that? Is there not, like,
definitely
for her,
definitely, but I mother, still feel like I agree, because I don't necessarily know. I tend to have a more centrist view on cancel culture as well. I don't think that no one is beyond redemption. I don't believe that as well. But I still think that if she were caught in 2016, she would still get the same response. Well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And some people, I feel, fall victim to that, like, Twitter clout, to that, like, oh, I'ma be the spicy one, I'ma always, like, you know. And so, but I think that, like, I could maybe understand, but then to, like, slide in her DMs and all of that is, like,
that's
girl
crazy.
Seem too much. And so, like, I do understand that, like, brands are pulling out and you're going through a very, like, hard time, but not that hard, sis. You married to John Legend. You'll be fine. So, but, like, and I do think, like, bitch, you need to sit down. And you need, like, you know, what can you do to, like, reaffect this? Like, how could you be, like, you know what I mean? Like, you let this story use you to be a better person and to, like, speak to someone else. So that's what I really feel like her situation is. Now, let's throw in that the wrench to this story. Michael Castillo from, I believe he won America's Next Top Model. And he is no stranger to controversy. There have been, prior to this, have been multiple allegations about, like, Michael Castillo, allegedly being racist, allegedly being, like, weight shaming. Like, a lot of stories have come out. And so, during the height of this Chrissy Teigen, you know, cancel culture, Miss Mike Costello decided to go on his Instagram and write this message saying, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it. And so essentially tried to join the Chrissy Teigen bandwagon and say that, now mind you, I don't know. Maybe I would just say 2016 again. During that time frame, he was embroiled in a huge controversy where it was alleged that he commented on somebody's photo, saying that, like, something using the N-word and something very derogative. And around that time, people got wind of that and was like, you know, cancel, like, you know, how dare he? And he alleges that Chrissy Teigen was one of the people that was like, you're racist, like, you need to be canceled. And, like, you know, he's even alleging that she slid in his DMs and, you know, basically saying that he should kill himself. Now, he also says that the comment was allegedly photoshopped and not real. And that, like, you know, this has, you know, the fact that Chrissy commented on it really, like, set the fire, and really, like, his career has suffered from it. And, like, you know, it's like he feel like, you know, and, you know, he's going through mental anguish over it. Now, I like so. And so so then that came out. So then, child, Leona Lewis then came out and detailed her experience of Michael Castillo body shaming her. Numerous models have come forward saying their treatment of Michael Castillo. And so it's just like, first of all, Michael Castillo, ain't nobody asked you to join in. Like, you know, so, but here's the thing. Like, I don't want to diminish. Like, he's saying the comment was fake. Okay? That's what he is saying. However, now we've got these countless other models and other people alleging very similar actions. So I don't know. Like, you know, where there's smoke, a lot of the time there is fire. So I don't know. So I just thought it was like interesting, like for you, Michael, and mind you, for him to be like, this is just clearing my peace and this is just what I need to, like, you know, heal myself. And so I'm like torn because, like, okay, if you're saying that this really was not you, and, like, you know, you have been affected by it, that I understand the cyberbullying and all of this stuff. But I'm just like, sis, have you not, like, learned your lesson? And, like, it's like you are trying to ask forgiveness by allegedly doing the same thing that Chrissy Teigen did to you. Like, sis, that's not how karma works.
Which is also fake. Because... Chrissy Teigen came out and said, I've never done that to Michael Costello. And then Michael Costello had to then go ahead and be like, you know what? Yeah, those were fake.
Just tea for me. Because I've read that John Legend came out and said those DMs were fake. And then Michael Costello came back out and said that they're not fake. And he got emails to prove it. And I didn't hear that he recanted.
I thought he recanted. I thought that he admitted to them being fake. Hold on, let me go to Chrissy. Okay, so Chrissy Teigen just tweeted as of 2 days ago, no idea what the F Michael Costello was doing. He just released a statement where he didn't at all acknowledge how fake the DMs were and now claims to have emails that don't exist. So while he conjures those up, hopefully with someone more talented and fakes this time, here. And then she released another statement about how that is completely just falsified.
Right.
I thought he recanted.
No, he didn't. And then with the Leona Lewis situation, he apologized, and Leona Lewis took the high road and accepted his apology and wished him love and light. And I feel like even if, Michael, you feel like that's what Chrissy did to you, and then how many years that have gone by since then, and now you feel like was the time to release your piece, for me it just seems that it's giving very opportunist, and it's like almost for you to like, oh, let me join in on this Chrissy Teigen hate band so that they could be like, oh my gosh, she did it to Michael, and now, like, you know, like, no sis, that's not how forgiveness works. If what you wanted to do was that you could have shared what happened to you, and that, like, you wish Chrissy Teigen well, because you know what it's like to go through something like that. Like, that's an adult and a sincere apology. For me, it's given, like, very, and mind you, and he could be right. Those comments could be fake. It could be whatever. But, like, in the manner in which that you did it, it's given very much opportunist.
Yes, I think it's people actually buying into the cancel culture hype. They think, oh, this is like, I can get this guy dragged all, you know, online and have all of their resources and their jobs taken away. Like, oh, let me go ahead and weaponize this. But the thing about it is, like, if you're gonna, you know, fight by the sword, die by the sword. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless you are picture perfect, because in a lot of ways, yes, I think we are lacking a bit of a moderation problem when it comes to canceling people. I think that not every situation calls for immediate, you know, disruption of their life. You know what I mean? But if you want that to happen to somebody else over a minor inconvenience in your life, which allegedly isn't even true, then be prepared for people to come out of the woodwork and have things to say about you that will get trumped up, and then you'll be the next one. So I think people just have to be mindful about how they behave. Like, you're not, before you go ahead and do this, are you saying that you don't have anything that you've done in your life?
Is that
what you're saying right now? Because it seems to me that everybody else has something to say about you. And then those people that have something to say about you, what about y'all? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just...
Right.
And then it becomes, like, this really vicious cycle.
Right.
Ooh, you did this. I'm snitching. Like... And it's like, where is the substance here? You know what I mean?
Right. And I feel like everybody has a past. And I'm sure there is a tweet or there's something that everybody could pull up of everybody. And I just feel like even when you are the person that is going through the cancel culture, I think that it's important to acknowledge your wrong.
Yes.
Make it right. And guess what? Keep it pushing. Because... Yeah. About the thing about the cancel culture and the thing about our society is we love to tear somebody down, but guess what? We also love to build them up. So it's like, girl, you not like, y'all not financially hurting out here. Y'all are doing better than a lot of the other people. Own up to what you did. take accountability, make it right, and continue to, like, move on. Like, it's just, like, I can't. But I was just, like, child, this whole Chrissy Teigen, Michael Costello, like, I'm, like, just make a stop. And then the fact that, like, you know, for Michael to, and I'm, this is the last thing I'm going to say, is, like, for you to be, like, oh, I've gone through so much, and I'm under the process of healing, and this is, like, you know, what I have to do. Well, girl, you seem very clapbackish for somebody that's going through healing. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. you real clappy backing about everybody and every, like, it's like, take the high road. Somebody get JoJo on here. High road.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that people just have to, like, I agree with what you're saying with Chrissy Teigen. It's like, you know, everybody has a past. I think that she certainly needs to deal with the fact that she went into somebody's DMs and encouraged them to kill themselves. You need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. Like, that's, you may have grown since then, but we're finding about it now. So, like, that doesn't mean that, like, the statute of limitations on moral dilemmas is, like, infinite. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So deal with that. But at the same time, like, I think that two things can be true at once, because I saw people commenting about, like, no, I don't want to believe it's about Chrissy Teigen. She just had a miscarriage and everything. Like, this can't be the same person. I'm like, it certainly can be the same person.
Right.
Someone who is experiencing hardship can also deal hardship onto others. It happens all the time. Okay. It's a vicious cycle. So, you know, admonish her, tell her that she was wrong. But you can, you know, you also, you don't have to tell her that she was wrong by them being vicious and being like, oh, that's why you lost your baby. You know what I mean? Like, that's not called for either.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like we need balance. You know, mm-hmm. We just need balance.
Yes, balance it is. Woo. Well, listen, y'all, that was this week's Casual Tea. We will be back in 2 weeks. Before we go, Amon, I know you must be getting excited for Big Brother, gearing up.
I am.
Where can the people follow you? What you got cooking? What's going on?
You can follow me at Amon Adwin on Twitter. You can also follow me at the same name on Twitch. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, which I'm finally getting off the ground. Same name on YouTube. But yeah, Big Brother is coming up. I'm so excited. Yay! It's been a bit of a struggle to get me excited for this season for more reasons than one. But I am really excited now. July 7th should be a good season. I hope that they came through on the casting notice, and I'm just excited to get started.
Yes. Well, we'll have to figure out how we're going to infuse the you know, because the Casual Tea was born from you giving us Big Brother updates. So we'll have to try to, like, you know, get some Big Brother updates in and still get our Casual Tea. But, you know, hope you guys enjoyed this week's Casual Tea. Make sure you tweet us. Let us know your thoughts. And we will be back in 2 weeks, because you already know it's the Casual Tea with Amon and B.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And I am so excited for this week's Freak of the Week, because my fingers have been crossed that I would one day be able to say that this person is the Freak of the Week. Okay. And listen, I don't even feel like going into it. The Freak of the Week this week is LaMelo Ball. Okay, listen. I don't watch sports that much, okay? The Sixers just lost, okay, to the Atlanta Hawks. Philly sports teams are very upset. I'm pretty sure my brother's TV in his apartment is broke, and that's no exaggeration. But anyway, you know, I love sports at times. You know, I follow, you know, I'm a Philly sports fan. You know, you can't be from Philly and not like the Eagles, not like the Sixers or the Phillies, and sometimes the Flyers. But I really have taken a liking to the Ball family, okay? We really got introduced to them a couple of years ago with LeVar Ball being their father, and he was
you know, created the Baller World Foundation. They had these like Baller World sneakers that were absolutely hideous. But LeVar was a black father showing nothing but love to his black sons. OK, there was Zoe, there is Jello, and there is LaMelo. And I really like, you know, and LeVar was saying these crazy things like his three sons are going to get drafted into the NBA and like, you know, making all of these things that people are like, LeVar is crazy. Now, mind you, he was saying a lot of outlandish things and stuff that you just like, baby boy, sit down. But the one thing that resonated with me was I love the fact that this black father is out here rooting for his black kids. And at times I almost wished I had a father, biological father, that rooted for me like that. And so I just really took to them. I loved them. I thought that they were just like really fun family. And then they announced that they had this like Facebook reality show, and it was like the first of its kind, the first reality show on Facebook. And I'm not going to lie, I'm going to admit that I have watched all three seasons of their Facebook show. I forget it was like the Ball family or the Baller family. Now, this was a time when I worked in the office and I had a lot of time on my hands. So I looked forward to every, I think it was Tuesday when it dropped. And we really got to see their family. Their mom had got sick. And it was like really inspiring to see LeVar stand by his wife. And then Zoe got drafted. That's the older brother. Into the NBA, and it was really exciting. Then their middle brother, which was kind of like, you know, a little upsetting, was like the middle brother, Jello and Mello, they went overseas to play. And then Jello got drafted to a team for a day and then got dropped. And then it was really exciting to see Mello. And throughout the show, I always just loved Mello. He was like the youngest son, the youngest brother. You know, I could resonate with that. And just really like seeing him grow up. And he really like, and I don't mean to like, you know, nothing about Zoe or Jello, but you always knew that Mello was going to be the star. And to see Mello grow up and listen, he did grew up enough that listen, if he wanted my number, listen, you could have him, Mello. But to see him grow up and to see him play for the Charlotte Hornets, and he's just out there killing it just every game. He got hurt, okay? He had to sit out for half the season, but every time he was out there, he would have these crazy passes. War Dog and I would go back and forth because I would always be sending War Dog these clips, okay? And also, like, a good friend of the show, Joey Hatch, I would always be keeping up with LaMelo's stats, and I would be sending them to Joey. And Joey would always be like, what man are you dating that is like giving you this information? Because you don't know this type of stuff, Bryce. Now, mind you, you know, I might have had a couple of little people over watching the games with me, but listen, that's my business. Don't do that. Don't be in my business, Joey. But I really have been rooting for LaMelo, and I've really wanted him to be the rookie of the year. And when he got hurt, I was like devastated. And then last week they announced, okay, LaMelo, my baby Zaddy, is the rookie of the year. And I was just so excited. I literally, like last week, ordered a jersey. So listen, when y'all see that Instagram post of me in the Charlotte, now y'all gonna be like, see, you don't even really watch sports. No, I do. The Charlotte Hornets jersey. Make sure y'all show that post some love, because, you know, baby boy gonna be looking like a snack. But I really do love the whole family dynamic. I love the black father loving on his children. And, you know, he even called that LaMelo would be rookie of the year. So listen, I'm here for it. And if anyone out there watched, like, the Ball family reality TV show on Facebook, and baby, it got good, because then like they business manager of like the Baller World was embezzling money. Like, ooh, I mean, listen, it was good. But anyway, we here for the freak of the week, which is Mello Ball. I'm so excited. I love it. And he is definitely the freak of the week. And if Mello Ball is the freak of the week, that means we have come to an end of another amazing podcast. I am really working on a great episode for next week. You know, something in the regards of Pride Month and talking about black gay men. So I'm excited to record that and release that next week. But if you have not already, please make sure you guys have subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast. podcast, you know we're available on Apple Music. We are available on Spotify. You know my Uncle Pookie. Listen, he all over the city with it, okay? I even think he might go to Delaware and New York, so you can catch him there. Please make sure you hit the subscribe button. Please write a review, okay? Give your baby boy some 5 stars, okay? And tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a Uncle Pookie to tell a Barb to tell a LaMelo Ball, okay? That make sure you keep your balance, because it's a it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind, you better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack, you better hurry right back though. It's the Purple Pants, it's the Purple Pants.